That then leads us to our second scripture reading. We once again are in the book of Psalms. This time we're reading together Psalm chapter 52. Let's hear in these words God's word to us. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It's like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, "Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others." But I'm like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, this day we come to your word challenged. We ask you as best as we can and as best as we know how, that you might be at work within us, opening our eyes and ears to hear you speak, that we might learn to distrust ourselves and instead put our full and living trust in you, that our trust might be eternal and our hope might be founded on the permanent foundation of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about our trust problem. Our trust problem. And I don't mean that problem that we don't seem like we can trust anyone anymore, though I hear ourselves talking about that more and more frequently. No, I want to talk this morning about how many of the things that we do trust, we barely think about. Let me put it to you this way. What if I told you that every single one of us staked our lives this morning on our way to church on some simple paint? What if I told you that every single one of us staked our lives that we would stay on the right side of the white and yellow lines on the road, and the other people would do the same exact thing? The entire system works, even on Highway 9 when there's a car coming 60 miles an hour right at you, that we will all abide by the imaginary line that sits at the center of the road. It works most reliably all the way up until the four-way stop, and then, you know, it's just anarchy. But we trust the rules of the road, we trust the other people that they will follow those rules, and that's all throughout our lives. That's just one example. We trust the engineers that design the bridges we drive over, the sanctuaries that we worship in, we trust the farmers that grow our food, we trust the doctors that interpret the lab results for us, we trust the electricians who wire our outlets. Trust is a fundamental part of our lives, but let's be honest, that doesn't mean that we're naturally good at trusting other people. One of my favorite action movies has a quote. It's from the movie The Italian Job, and the character says, "I trust everyone. It's the devil inside them I don't trust." Let's not be naive, friends. We live in a world where today you might get a phone call from Microsoft offering to help fix your computer when really they're going to install viruses on your computer and try to take your money. We are increasingly living in a world in which we worry about the advice we're given from all kinds of people in our lives. We worry about those people's self-interest, and we worry about their motivations, and we don't trust that they have our best interest at heart. And I've got to be honest with you this morning, the psalmist has us a little bit in his crosshairs. I want to defend myself a little bit. I tried not preaching this text, okay? The lectionary this week was pointed, and it struck me that this was the week we all just need a light, encouraging sermon. I was coming back from vacation. We all just want to go to lunch after this. So I went to go see if we could find a little bit of a lighter word, but all of the passages with pinpoint accuracy honed in on this idea of who we trust. And so I went to battle with the text. I did the best that I could. I came out a little beaten and bruised, but I think the psalmist has got a point, and I'm going to try my best to share it with you this morning. At its core, I think the truth is that the psalmist wants us to know that the problem isn't that we cannot trust other people enough. I think the point the psalmist is trying to make is that we trust ourselves too much. If you're going to boil it down, this psalm is a clear warning that we make the grave mistake in trusting ourselves for our own security and wealth and power. And if you read the psalm carefully, there's many different ways we get off track. That there's far too many ways that we trust ourselves over God. The first is when we mislead others, when we trust ourselves by concealing or misrepresenting ourselves to others. Have you ever heard that phrase, it's just a little white lie? I don't know how that got into our vocabulary, but I can tell you with confidence, not the Bible. There's no such thing as a little lie. The psalmist says that the tongue is like a sharpened razor that has the power of great destruction. A lie, no matter how big or how small, exposes that we believe that other people can trust us. No, we believe they should trust us, even if we don't tell them the truth. It puts our interests before others, and it flies in the face of a perfect, truth-giving God, who, by the way, sees through all of our smoke and mirrors. Make no mistake about it, lies aren't confined to what we say, but also the appearances that we put on for other people. Did you know that just 2 years ago, the global economy for counterfeit goods topped $2 trillion? Handbags and watches and shoes. People go online to buy goods that look like their name brands when they're actually not. They're sold at a much lower price. It's fascinating because we live in a world where what you wear is everything. And in a world where fashion seems to change every week, not just every season, there's this feverish pace to keep up. So what do? Well, instead of buying less, we just buy more, even if it's a lie, even though it purports to be a thing that it is when it isn't. Turns out it's a subtle twist, but we come to put more weight in how we appear before others rather than the truth of who we actually are. And I think if we're pressed to think about it, we all know that we are more than the stuff that we have. But sometimes we need reminded that that stuff will never fill that empty hole inside of us. That was one of three. The second is about boasting. For some people, boasting is an opportunity to make ourselves look bigger. We tell stories and they always end in us being right. We work for years to ensure that everyone knows we are indispensable. Sometimes this boasting is as subtle as a picture on Instagram. Other times it's as big as a loud bragging before the crowd. There are many ways that we make ourselves appear bigger, and it's not always by lifting ourselves up. Sometimes it's by cutting others down. Far too often we have insulting conversations about people we've never met personally, but we've heard about. We talk too freely about how dumb they are in Florida or how clueless they are in California. We objectify people in order to make them small, all while subtly making us seem larger. It doesn't matter how we do it, whether we try to puff ourselves up or cut other people down. It's another way we put trust in ourselves, trying to find our own path, trying to make our own way. No matter how we get there, boasting happens when we try to point others to ourselves, which reveals that inner temptation that we trust ourselves first and not God. And if that wasn't enough, the psalmist has one third and I think final caution for us when he describes the person who trusted in, and I quote, his great wealth. Wealth, possessions, and influence are a difficult subject for us for many reasons, not least of which is that I think we're all tempted to take these things for granted. I've lived my entire life, friends, until this summer, taking for granted that I have lived each and every day with clean running water. And it takes significant effort for me to remember that there are people in the world today, literally, who could be watching this on the live stream who do not have that. And importantly, the psalmist does not say that having wealth is the problem, but having wealth tempts us to trust it instead of trusting God. And I'll be honest, when I survey my life, I'm embarrassed by the abundance that God has given me. In my living room today, as an example, I have not one, but multiple ways to watch digital streaming movies. I've not one, but many ways to play video games, which is a thing that I like to do. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I have a garage stall dedicated to all the stuff that I like to do just outside. It's amazing the amount of gifts that God has given me, and yet I have come to take them for granted. Hear me clearly. I think that this is a subject that on some level makes all of us uncomfortable, because no matter how rich or poor we might be compared to our neighbors, God has blessed us with more than enough. The point's not about being guilty about the gifts God has given us. The point is that we should be very careful that those gifts do not command our trust. I once had a history teacher who summarized this lesson for me by saying, "You don't get to take anything with you when you leave this world. The only thing that matters is what you leave behind." It's far too easy to become fixated on the stuff of life and to trust that if we had more of it, then our lives would be better. But friends, this is not freedom. It's the temptation of a different kingdom. The invitation of the gospel is not that we should be guilty for the gifts that God has given us, but we should be free so that those gifts do not have the power to control us, which leads us down a different way. It takes us a different path, and it leads us to a different kingdom. It's like if we set off into the forest of life, and everywhere we go, that's where we set up our tent. And every place and every moment that we live, we try to make that place as much of a place that's comfortable for us as we can be. We feel like we can do it alone. We feel like we can trust ourselves. But the alternate way of living, the kingdom way, is to put our dependence upon God. God doesn't want us to live our lives setting up tents in the forest of life and trying to control it. He wants us to plant our tent directly in the middle of his house. The psalmist uses this amazing image you might have caught and said that he's like an olive tree planted in the house of God. The imagery, I missed it until I did some research. The olive tree is a plant that grows for over 100 years. It's a generational plant. The thing that makes it amazing is every year it produces tens of gallons of olive oil, more than what a family could use. It's able to bless families upon families. So come back to the image. God wants us to be the kind of people who are planted in his house, the kind of people whose lives overflow with blessings for others. In other words, the kind of people who trust God to make our home, the kind of people who trust God to make the way, the kind of people who are less interested in all of these lies that we tell ourselves about what we need to consume and own and the presentation we give to others, and simply trust that for this day, God is enough. Lies are not dangerous simply because they're lies. Wealth's not dangerous because we have it. It becomes dangerous when we begin to trust it. The only trust that is reliable is the trust in our Heavenly Father. The only path where we find our lives fulfilled with freedom instead of captivity is when we open up our hearts wide enough to allow God to restore them. The issue may not be that the world is less trustworthy. The issue may be that we've come to trust ourselves too much. It's not an easy thing to stand face to face with all the ways that we resist God's leading in our lives, the ways that we miss trusting him. And it would be really easy, I think, to leave this sermon feeling beaten up by how far we all still have to go. But may I remind you that all of this is rooted in God's unfailing love for us. God is so good, the psalmist says, that his name will be praised forever. And God is so trustworthy that he gave his son so that we might always have everlasting hope. And if you're looking for those practical things, your takeaways for today, I want to suggest two for you today. The only way that we can recalibrate the kingdom that we live in. The only way that we can plant our tent in the house of God is to be in constant relationship and connection with God. In this place, we call that prayer. That we live our lives as the kind of people constantly praying and recentering and reorienting our lives so that we put our entire hope and trust in the one who is with us eternally. And the second goes with prayer. Prayer teaches us to be people of gratitude. Because if, like me, today you took for granted that the other person stayed on their side of the line, and if you took for granted when you went to the bathroom that that water was clean, you took for granted all of the blessings that God has granted us, then you too would be blessed to be reminded that each and every one of those is an invitation to be grateful to God. Because friends, it is not that we've worked hard enough. It's not that we've pursued the stories that we tell purely enough. It is that God has been faithful and you can trust him. You could trust him with yesterday. You can trust him with today. And we stake our lives on trusting him for forever. There may be 1,000 ways that we're tempted to get off track, to put too much trust in ourselves, but there's only one sure, constant, and clear way that we can learn to trust God forever. And that is putting our hope in Jesus Christ. To thank him with gratitude for each day, for his love, and for his faithfulness that has been given to us. To ask us to teach him to trust him even more. And to stake our lives on the fact that the most trustworthy reality is that the truth that Jesus Christ has chosen us. So may that truth live in you. May you live your entire life in the complete confidence in your Savior. And in him, might we learn to trust anew. Thanks be to God. Amen.